All right, how many have kids going back to school this week? Just quick show of hands. All right, grandkids going back to school this week. Yeah. All right, here in a couple of weeks, how many of you have kids going to college? Bam, right? It's a couple few families here. All right, yep. Well, our household fits, we've got kids going back to school as well, college and starting high school. So it's a different dynamic in our household, but it's pretty cool. It's good. And I think when our kids go back to school, maybe as parents, we're thinking, well, we may not tell our kids, you know, that, yes, finally they're going back to school. Or we're like, it's going to be so much fun for them. It's going to be a new adventure. They're going to make new friends and they're going to learn. They're going to have new classes and they're going to learn so much and it's going to be so much fun. And we think of the, you know, the picture here with the two kids. It's like, all right, we're excited. And we might overlook the other part, bring that in, which is sometimes we might get excited, but there are times when there are uncertainties facing us and there are questions, there are fears, and there are conflicts and friendships that influence anxious responses. You ever had a friend that makes you anxious? Oh, goodness. I wanted to start a new series today. If you would go back up to, there we go. So sometimes, right, we think it's going to be all good, and then there's tears shed, and there's anger and frustration that our kids also deal with, right? Absolutely. But God's Word can help us with this. So it may be that as parents or grandparents, you're going to have your kids going back, and they're going to be dealing with some of these anxieties. And this series I'm calling Back to School, we're starting, we're going to do over the next 4 weeks, is intended to help us as parents to navigate these waters of helping to manage and maybe even prevent some of those anxieties in our kids or even in us in our homes or us personally as they're going back to school. I thought this would be a super relevant, very practical, hands-on, how do we put our faith to work right now with our kids and grandkids going back to school? At whatever level that is, I can remember my first day going to college and talk about some anxieties. Man, it's just, this is all brand new. It's not like high school anymore. Going to high school for the first time, it's so big, there's so many students, and there's so many classrooms, and where do I go, and will I have enough time? It's exhausting just trying to say all of it, right? How can we use our faith to help us navigate? And how can we use some practical counsel to help us navigate as well that'll help us think, do, and say in a healthy way? And I know for those of you who are English, that is not the best way to say that. But I like the way it just rolls, right? To help us think, do, and say in a healthy way. Because that's the goal. All right. Let's jump in. What do you think? You ready for this? Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, all right, that's fun. So, if you're going to talk about something, do you ever recognize that you may not have the same definition as the person across from you? You might define it a little differently. And so I thought, let's just take a moment and let me define the way I want to talk about anxiety. Because you may look at it a little bit differently, and that's not the end of the world. I just want you to know where I'm coming from as I talk about it. And I'm going to talk about anxiety as this experience of being worried and just deeply concerned about something or someone. And there could be the potential for danger or the potential for failure. It could be a fear of unmet expectations that's starting to get you worked up, or maybe the fear of being rejected or being made fun of. You're not clear on what decision to make next, and you're just kind of, I know a little bit something about that. You ever heard of paralysis by analysis? You ever heard of that? Something worked out in the world, right? Poster child right here. That is an ongoing journey in my life. But whether it's coming from within or somebody externally is kind of bringing that, prompting that in you, you find yourself kind of brooding over it. You ever know what that word brooding? Just kind of, what's in your, just brooding. You're a brood, right? Yeah. The way that our body responds physically and emotionally to those thoughts is anxiety. And it can influence us to feel alone because we're feeling it here and here, and we think, well, that's not out there, so I'm all by myself and no one else is feeling what I'm feeling. It can lead us to feel isolated, like I just said, to feel sad, perhaps, hopeless, depressed. We can feel pressure. I don't know. We can shut down emotionally. I'll just shut down because I don't want to have to deal with it. And you just sort of become, I'll just make myself be numb to it. It can influence us to alter our plans. You ever seen a picture of somebody who goes up to skydive and they're like, yes, I'm so excited. And they get up to the edge of the plane. They look down and they go, not today. They go and they sit back down, right? Like, anxiety can influence your decision making. It can be so strong that it produces panic attacks. Some may break out in hives and start sweating. Like, oh my gosh. Some may get sick. You hear about, I think it was Bette Midler, before she was here, anxiety was so bad before she would go out on stage and perform that she would throw up. And then she would go out to perform. It's amazing what anxieties and nervousness can do in your physical body. It's legit, it's real stuff. It can influence what we think, what we do, and what we say. How many of you adults know what I'm talking about? You don't have to raise your hand, but you can if you want, because probably every single person in the room, some of you can own it like, yeah, more than others. Like, I hear you, you're preaching to me. I'm all hands and all feet in this morning. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, sometimes we think when we're dealing with anxiety that we're the only one, but we're not, because you've got everybody, the people around you. Some of us hide it better than others. Some of us have learned how to work through it. And some of us just suffer in silence in the midst of it. And people think we're doing okay, but we're really not. And that's not what God, suffering is not what God has ordained for his people. And so I want to talk about that. And that's why we're going to do this series. Because as adults, you know what it's like. Don't forget, your kids are going through this. And you can't take it away from them, and you can't stop it for them. You can't take them out in the environments that are prompting anxieties or what they're going through. You've got to parent them through that and help them navigate all of this. That's parenting, right? So for today, I want us to understand that's also discipling our children. Because you're going to help them learn how to use their Christian faith to navigate a real practical world life experience. That's discipling your kids or your grandkids. So that being said, anxiety is not new, right? Let me give you just a few examples of this. I hadn't really thought of it in this slide, but it's true. Go to the next slide if you would. So there's our little teacher here, and she is giving us some examples. Israel is one of them. If you've ever heard the story of Israel leaving Egypt, the exile, and they go out into the wilderness, and just as soon as they get out there, they realize there's no food. And they start to be anxious about how are we going to survive? What are we going to have anything to eat? How are we going to do this? And then they start to turn negative and really pessimistic. They're like, well, we ought to just go back home. We should have never even left to begin with because we had it better there. You know, we had food to eat. And out here, I don't see, da, da, da. You're just willing to go, would you just breathe for a moment? Right? Anxieties, we're working them up, man. Martha, Mary's sister, Lazarus, right? So, was their brother, and Jesus came to their house one day, and Martha's trying to do hospitality, right? Because that's the culture. It's the right thing to do, is what was expected. And she was like, Mary's sitting there at the foot of Jesus listening, and she should be helping. And Martha's like going to Jesus and going, I'm doing the thing, and she should be with me, helping me, because this is what's expected of us, and I can't, how can I do this? I can't, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Jesus is like, just breathe. She's doing what's right, and I'm not going to tell her to change. She's been worked up over it. Anxieties. The Apostle Paul. Even Paul. Paul said he had this deep concern and just sort of thinking and just sort of brooding over just this the state of the churches that he had gone and been a missionary to and started these churches. And he's like, he just sort of had this anxiety. And he confesses it, that worrying about, oh my gosh, I don't want you to turn from the faith in Jesus. Oh my gosh, there's so many people saying other stuff, and I want you to stay strong, and I want you to make it. And he's just, and they're always just on his heart and on his mind. And Paul is an amazing servant of Christ, but I also want you to just be real and don't paint a picture of him that he didn't go through problems that you and I go through, because he did. You're not alone when you go through or are prompted to go through anxieties, and your kids, our kids, need to know that as well. It's been around since the fall of humanity in Genesis 3. This is old school stuff, man. It's not new. The fear of the unknown, especially when kids are going back to school, big. They may hide it, and they may play, and they may laugh, but I promise you that in your kids' minds and in their emotions, they are working through this, trying to work through it, try to figure this out. And I think one of the best things we can do is to help them learn how to manage the possible anxieties, so we can help them have a good start to the beginning of the school year, whether it's college, or it's high school, or it's elementary, or it's kindergarten, whatever it is, new stuff brings forth anxieties. And it probably wouldn't hurt us to get a little better at it too, probably as adults, you know? All right. When I was in college, I learned about Bob Marley and the Wailers. You ever heard of Bob Marley and the Wailers, right? If you haven't, you know, it's like, who? Ask your parents, your grandparents. They could probably let you in on that one. So anyways, and before you try to picture me smoking a joint and dressing like a Rastafari, that was not me. Just we're clear on that, okay? And if you need to learn about either one of those, ask your parents or somebody a little bit older. I'm not going to break that down this morning. But one of my favorite songs was and is Don't Worry. I loved this song when I first got to hearing that. And it started out, don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. Then it repeats it, singing, don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. And so rise up this morning, smile with the rising sun. Three little birds sit by my doorstep, singing sweet songs, melodies pure and true. Singing, this is my message for you. Oh, all right. Now I know who the Bob Marley and the Wailer fans are here. So Bob Marley, I like that song. He taught us, don't worry. There was a lot of me trying to navigate what I was going to be doing in life and navigate new seasons of life when I came across that song, and it was somewhat therapeutic for me. Above all, Jesus, I think, is the best therapy for us. And Jesus taught us, don't worry, as well. In the Sermon on the Mount, he taught us that very principle. But he used the analogy of, do you remember? Birds and lilies, to help make his point. And when he did that, he was trying to get them to not be like overly concerned and deeply just, anxious over the things that they can't control. Like the people around you. Oh, how we wish we could make the people around us do the things we want them to. And we learn we can't. And the future. How we'd like our future to be exactly what we wish it is. I wish I hadn't done that. Wish that it would be something, and then we find out that we can't actually control the future. It's beyond our realm. And so what Jesus does is he takes the birds and the lilies, right? And he's like, hey, and he tells everybody that's listening to him, he says they can't control their natural environment. But God sees that they thrive in his created order that he has placed them into. It's It's the natural order of things that God has created, you might say it that way. They can't control their future either. But they fly and they eat and they sleep and they do life right where God has created and placed them. And God provides and they do fine. We can't control, he goes on to say, essentially, that our environment, we can't control our future, that those things are really beyond us. There are certain things you can't control, but in the big scheme of things, you just can't, no matter how much you want to. And what Jesus' point is at the end of this is, however, if you will lean into the Lord, and you will trust in him, and you will seek him, and you will pray, and you will spend time with him, and you will trust in him, and continue this posture of your heart every single day. If you will live in a harmonious relationship with God and strive for the people around you to be at peace with the people that are around you, that the Lord is going to provide. He's going to take care of you. You may not have that car you wish you had. And you may not have the house you wish you had. And you may still have some bills you wish you didn't have. And you may still have some debt you wish you didn't have. But the Lord will take care of you when it's all said and done. Then you will see exactly how well he has taken care of you. But you have to trust him. And you got to just seek him. And lean into him. Right? That's what he created you for. That's, go read Genesis. That's the original intent of creation, right? Live in that. And there are blessings in that. God provides and he takes care of his own. For me, I just, I can't help but hear, don't worry. But I think Jesus would come around and say, don't worry because God loves you. Above all the things you need to remember is just that God loves you. So let me ask you a question. If you fret about stuff, this question is for you, because this question needs to be for me. When you fret about things that you can't control, can you remember that God will take good care of you because he loves you? And I want to challenge you, if you're a fretter, remember that God will take care of you because he loves you. Yeah, well, but there's no buts. God will take care of you because his motive is he loves you. If God loves you, man, won't he take care of you? Won't he provide for you? If he provides for the birds and the lilies of the field and he loves you more, won't he provide for you? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. He will take care of you. He will lead you in right ways for his name's sake, that he will be glorified through you. The Apostle Paul takes it a little step further, actually, and when he writes to the church in Philippi, here's what he says to them. He says, I'll put this on the screen here this morning so you can read this. Follow along with me. I'll read it. You can just follow along. So here's what he says. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Sounds a little Jesus, Bob Marley-ish. I never thought that I would put Jesus and Bob Marley like in the same sentence. Tim, like for me, today is like it's a new thing. I've never thought it would happen. But anyways, I will give Jesus the upper hand on this. But here's what he says. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, so there's an alternative. He says, bring up all of your requests to God in your, what? Prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. I love that. I love those two verses. Man, it's so encouraging. I found this statement by a man named Viktor Frankl. He's a psychologist and a survivor of the Holocaust. And he penned these words. I'm going to put them on the screen here for you. This He says between stimulus and response, there is a space. Between what causes and what you then do, there's the space in between. He says in space, there is the power to choose our response, and our response lies our growth and our freedom. The stimulus is the source of the anxiety, right? Stimulating you. The response is then what we think, do, and say because of that. The space is the area in between where our faith can influence a healthier response. And what I find from Philippians 4 is that Paul is teaching us to pray in that space. Pray in the space. You typically don't get to, I find, you typically don't get to control what stimulates that promptings for anxiety, right? Like some, it may be internal and it just comes on you and you're like, where did that come from? Or somebody says something or they ask a question and you're like, well, great, now I got to think about that now. You know, or some, whatever, right? Things don't go your way and you go, well, what now? What if? What if I can't? Da, da, da. So a lot of times it'll just kind of come and you have to deal with it. So you have space. Sometimes it's a split second space. It's like a half second space, you know. But there's still the space where you get to choose to respond. And I think Paul teaches us to pray in this space. And perhaps we can take that with our kids and discipling our kids and our grandkids. And just think that maybe one of the great tools we can give them in that space is to pray. But not just telling them, hey, pray, and that's fine. You certainly can pray when you get into that space, absolutely. But to teach them perhaps a way to pray in that space. And two ways, if you're interested now, one to consider is to teach them to pray the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught us to pray that way, right? We can use that. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. Right? You continue just to teach them a model of prayer that Jesus already said. Here you go. Because in that prayer, it's something I want to teach you. But you can also use your own words to just a personal prayer, and if you like. And would you go to that slide there for me, please? I want to just lay these out before you. I think this is awfully important. This can be, I think, a very powerful prayer. There's four parts of this prayer I want to give you, and it's really simple, and I don't have to say much about it. Give me the first one, if you would. So perhaps what you might do is just, son or daughter, we'll say Andy. I'll just use myself. Let's say I'm a little kid again. Andy, when you begin to pray, acknowledge God's goodness and his love. Start with how good God is. Acknowledge that. God, you are a good God and your love is amazing and I know that you love me. Start with acknowledging God. And then teach them to do this. Okay? Label the thoughts and the feelings. This is a very powerful part because this teaches emotional awareness. It teaches our kids to seek out what exactly are you thinking about and how exactly are you feeling because of that, and label that so you can identify it. It helps our kids not to live in the mystery of just feeling something and they don't know the why or the what, and they just feel lost and they feel overwhelmed. But if you can help them to identify what exactly are you thinking about that's causing this emotional response, and what exactly are you feeling right now? Teach them to label that. And to then take a step further. Look at the third part. And then ask God for help in those specific areas. Take that. This is my petition to God. I'm taking this specific part because this is where I am right now. And I'm placing this before God. This is what I'm asking. God, I am thinking that I'm going to fail miserably tomorrow. Lord, I am afraid that kids are going to pick on me. I'm afraid that I'm going to get to my class late because I'm going to misjudge how long it takes to get across campus. And then I'm going to be the last one walking in and everybody looks at me and the professor just shoots me a look like, why are you late? Sorry, been there, done that. It's legit. It's real. No, but it's, but to ask God, like, this is where I'm at. I need help with this. God, just help me. That's great. But label. I need strength to overcome. I need willpower. Yes, label that and ask the Lord. Then this fourth part, I would, when you, just thank him. For what? Thank him for his peace. If Philippians 4:7 says that he will give you peace, then go ahead and thank him already that he's going to do exactly what his word said he would do. So go ahead and thank him for that peace that's coming. Well, I don't feel very peaceful right now because I'm just in a knot. I know, but go ahead and thank him for what he said he'll do. It teaches our kids that God is, watch this, there's three things I want to give you. I think it's super important. Well, here's what I see. Go to that next slide, please. All right, first one, go. It teaches our kids that God honors his promises. So we're just teaching them to look at your problem, look at the promises of God, and go, God says he will provide. And he is a God of his word. He is true. So we're teaching our kids, God will do what he says. But then you got to let them have the opportunity to trust him or just not. And you can't do that for your kids. Kids got to do it for themselves. They got to figure that out. They either will or they won't. But you can teach them that God honors his promises, and you can teach them, and that's why I give you these verses. If you want to write the verses as you have them, or you can take a picture of the screen, you can give them a verse that helps them to say, this is what God says in his word, right, about his promises. And then the second one, it teaches them that God is our refuge and our strength. That before they may even lean to you as a parent and say, help me, or, you know, you call in your own parents, say, help me. That's great, and we need help. But go to God first. Trust and ask God to be the refuge and the strength that he says he is, and that his people have believed he is for generations. Psalm 46:1 declares that he is our refuge and our strength. And then the third one is encouraging them that God works for our good. He's not going to make everything good for them. Don't lie to them. He's a pastor. God does not, he's not saying he's going to make everything good. They may still bomb their first class. But they were praying and I was praying. Yeah. And still, maybe it happens. Maybe at lunchtime they spill food on their clothes and the other kids pick on them in the second half of the day. Yeah, it might happen. Well, but I was praying that God was going to work for their good. I know. The prayer is not that they'll never have a problem. They're going to. It's life. But that through all of the problems, God never stops working for their good beyond the moment and into the future, right? So you're helping them see a moment, but see beyond a moment at the same time. And that duality is very challenging for a young one to get. But you keep planting the seed little by little by little. Don't underestimate or ignore the power of prayer to help manage anxieties when going back to school, whether you are an adult or you have kids. Prayer is powerful. And Jesus taught us how to pray. And when we teach our kids how to pray, we're discipling our children as they go back to school. Here is one of the greatest tools you can use to help you navigate going back to school. Well, I'll help you with all these other things, you know, your schedule and clothes and lunches and activities and, you know, paying for all this kind of stuff. Yeah, like we'll work through all that kind of stuff. But, you know, son or daughter, you're going to have to make some important decisions. You're going to have to decide. Are you going to trust God every day when you go to school? Will you pray and ask for help? Will you tell God thank you every day for what he's getting ready to do for you and what he's already doing? Are you going to make the choices to be patient and kind and good when you're at school? You have to make those choices. I can't make that for you. Will you love people like Jesus loves you? And we taught you that Jesus loves you. And when they pick on you, I can't control that. And yeah, you're going to get anxious. How are you going to handle that? Parenting, discipleship, helping our kids learn their faith helps them to navigate going back to school. It's a really important part of going to school. School's probably not going to teach them that, depending on what environment they're in, but public school system not going to teach that. So you're going to have to teach that if your kids are in public school system. Public school system, not bad. My kids went through public school system. So did I. I think I turned out okay. Ask Leslie, she may tell you differently, but it comes on people that are ahead of you, can pour into you so that you can come up behind them, Paul and Timothy, right? To learn these things about how you take your faith and just put it into practice every day. And when you go to work, Mommy, I can't be there when somebody says an ugly word to you at work today and when your boss doesn't respect you. I can't be there to give him little, would you do that to my mommy? Mommy, how are you going to take your faith and respond to that today at work if it happens? Mm-hmm. Mommy, will you pray? Yeah. I have to keep working on this too. But I, through my life, I have wrestled with anxieties. Okay? So I get it. I'm telling you, I get it. Paralysis by analysis. I get it. Hard to pull the trigger on big decisions in life, and it just keeps you up at night, and you're just turning and turning, and you're mulling over. Yeah, I've been there. I just turned 47. I'll just say it. August 4th, I just turned 47. It's all good. And I still have to keep working through it. It's lifelong, right? But thank God our faith serves us our whole life in positive, good ways. So you have an advocate in your corner, Christ Jesus. And you have a great way to go through it, and that's prayer. And that's your church family. And that's having your small group. And that's having a really good friend in Christ that walk alongside you. And you can just cry to or pour into or whatever, ask for help. That's great. And you have a God that loves you and is always with you. Even in the darkness of night, you know he's still there. I was talking to a friend of mine a few days ago, and we kind of shared a similar statement that we just really like. And I didn't create it, but maybe this is a good way to end. One of the helpful ways to get through anxieties that come on you is to remember that don't forget in the dark what you knew to be true in the light. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not true. Don't forget in the dark what you knew to be true in the light. And it won't make everything better. But I think that's what faith is getting us to do. So remember that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his love hasn't changed. And he didn't stop working for your good in the dark. You just might not see it as clearly. Doesn't look as bright, but he's still there. Will you trust him? I leave you with that. Kind of heavy, huh? Kind of heavy. But yeah, come on. So our music team, come up here this morning and let's kind of wrap this up in a good way. Would you stand this morning? Stand with me, please. All right, so if you are a practical, pastor, yes, I'm interested in this topic. I'm glad you're talking about it. Can you help me with some practical tools about what to think, do, and say in a healthy way to help me prevent and manage some of these anxieties that's grounded in Scripture and some practical counsel? You need to be here the next 3 weeks because that's exactly where we are going. In that order, think, do, and say. We're going to ask the Lord to help us through that journey, okay? Then we can help our kids through that journey as well. Amen.